another great show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Think, Believe, and Manifest Show with author, master trainer, and certified dream coach, Constance Arnold. Join us every week as we bring you life-changing information that will empower your life. And here's Constance.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And I am your most gracious host, Constance Arnold. And today, tonight, I am broadcasting live from beautiful Atlanta, Georgia, with just a little touch of Southern flavor. I know you love that. And I just want to welcome listeners from all over the world tonight. And, you know, I know that if you're listening, that you were attracted here by the Spirit of God, and that tonight you will find the solutions, the strategies, the answers, and the techniques, and just the spiritual insight that you need to begin to shift and alter your thinking and your life, and begin to live that powerful life, that prosperous life, that purposeful life that you were created to live by God. Well, how are you doing? Have you had a great week? I know that you have, because I've been receiving all of your emails, and I have certainly had a great week. As you know, just a couple of days ago, I had my birthday. Happy birthday to me. And it was so wonderful. I heard from so many of you from all over the world, and it was so amazing. I received so many birthday songs, and I don't think I've ever been sung happy birthday in so many different languages. Many of you sang happy birthday to me in French and Spanish and other languages that I don't even know, and it was just so touching, and I felt so loved, and it was such a glorious day. And I received so many tweets and so many likes and happy birthday greetings on Facebook. And, of course, here in Atlanta, I received money, which is always good. You guys know how I feel about money and wealth, right? Cards, flowers, and I'm a big card person. So I'm so grateful and thank all of you so much for celebrating me and for honoring me. Well, once again, tonight I have a great show for you. You know, many times I talk about wealth and abundance and prosperity, and all of that is really great, but, you know, your health is the most important thing. I was telling someone the other day, they asked me about my priority, and I said my number one priority is really intimacy with God or with Spirit. That's number one. But number two for me is really my health, because if I'm not healthy, I cannot really fulfill the purpose for which God created me. If I'm not healthy, I can't come to you. If I'm not healthy, I can't enjoy wealth. If I'm not healthy, I can't enjoy love and friends and give at the level that I was created to give. So health is very, very important. And even in the Bible, God says that He wants you to prosper in your body and in your soul, even as your soul prospers. And so to God, health and healing is important. And so tonight, if you are struggling, if you've just gotten a diagnosis, if you are on medication and you know you want to come off of some of that medication, if you want to learn about nutrition and exercise and just well-being, God is so interested in our well-being. I want you to make sure that you stay tuned tonight. And before we go to a quick commercial, I want to say to many of you out there, I know that you have been thinking about coaching, but now is the time. Before the end of the year is a great time to begin to make a quality decision and say, guess what? I've given to my husband, I've given to my job, I've given to my children, but now is the time that I'm going to invest in myself. So listen to these great quick commercials, and I will be right back with Dr. Matt Mumberg and Heather Reed, who are the authors of Sustainable Wellness, an Integrative Approach to Transform Your Mind, Body, and Spirit. I'll be right back.
You're listening to Law of Attraction Radio Network, enhancing the well-being of millions of listeners worldwide. LOARadionetwork.com is heard through 25 different internet radio stations, as well as iTunes Radio, Stitcher.com, and our mobile apps. The Law of Attraction Radio Network, your trusted source of daily inspiration at LOARadionetwork.com.
Here's an update on our cruise of a lifetime to Mayan country. Royal Caribbean Cruise Line will not be raising the rates for the time being. And we have a special announcement that Lee Harris will actually be singing on the cruise. So not only do we have Law of Attraction coach Constance Arnold, astrologer Gene Wiley, channel psychic Lee Harris, we are also introducing holistic coach Enzo Giovanni to you as well. Plus, we may be tossing in a special hypnosis session on releasing the fears that block you from reaching the stars. So sign up today by going to lawofattractioncruise.com. That's lawofattractioncruise.com.
Are you ready to create the life of your dreams? Imagine partnering with a coach that can help you manifest extraordinary success. Constance Arnold has been a licensed therapist and coach for over 25 years and has successfully worked with more than 10,000 clients. Constance will help you clarify your goals, eliminate self-defeating beliefs, and create strategic plans to manifest your dreams. Constance offers a variety of coaching packages, pay-as-you-go, half-yearly, and yearly coaching. Contact Constance today for guaranteed coaching that produces extraordinary and permanent results. For more information, go to fulfillingyourpurpose.com.
Well, I just want to welcome everyone back from the commercial, and I hope you will take advantage of my coaching. You know, as you know, I have 25 years of experience in teaching people how to really go from where you are to where you want to be. So if you want to talk to me about coaching or what that possibility would look like, of course, you know, you can email me at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. Well, it has been a very interesting night, to say the least. And I tell you, when you're trying to get knowledge and wisdom out to the world, I just think that there are higher forces that try to prevent that, but tonight that's not going to happen to us. My very special guest is Dr. Matthew Mumber. He is the author of Sustainable Wellness, an Integrative Approach to Transform Your Mind, Body, and Spirit. And doesn't that just sound like my show? Dr. Mumber is an award-winning board-certified radiation oncologist. He is co-director of the MD Ambassador Program and the Integrative Oncology Program at Harbin Clinic in Rome, Georgia, which is not too far from Atlanta. He has been called a healthcare hero in the Georgia Trend magazine, which is a very popular magazine in the state of Georgia. And he gives talks and workshops and facilitates information on integrative approaches to oncology, health, and wellness. And he is just really involved in teaching people how to have sustainable wellness. And I cannot wait to hear what he has to say tonight. So, Dr. Matt Mumber, welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Thank you, Constance. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we tried to have your other co-writer on, and I have to mention her, Heather Reed, but we had difficulty with that connection. But you said that you and Heather are so close, you can kind of share anything that she might would want to share. Is that correct?
Well, I'll certainly do my best.
And Heather, we miss you. We wish we could have gotten you on. And you know, Dr. Mumber, tell our listeners just a little bit about who you are and your own personal journey.
Yep, Constance, I'm a radiation oncologist, and my personal journey started back probably when my mom had breast cancer when I was a very young child. And I was raised Catholic, and in Catholic schools, the nuns always told me that I was a good listener and that I ought to go into a field that included listening and working with people. And so ultimately, I ended up choosing to become a physician. And as I went through my medical training, I realized that medicine was not really about listening as much as it was about fixing and trying to focus only on the science and the technical aspects of disease and the technical aspects of the body. And so over time, I really felt like there was something missing, a more broad look at the whole person. And my experience in life as a collegiate swimmer and going through my medical training and trying to remain true to myself and share my heart and listen to others and help them to be able to grow and learn from their illnesses and challenges in life led me to integrative medicine. And after I did my fellowship in radiation oncology, I did a two-year fellowship with Dr. Andrew Weil at the University of Arizona, the program in integrative medicine. And after that, I was fortunate enough to be able to write a textbook on how to integrate complementary therapies into conventional medicine. So looking at things like nutrition and physical activity and stress management, as well as other complementary therapies like acupuncture and massage and different botanical therapies, and just trying to help folks to use as many tools that were out there as possible to battle a diagnosis of cancer. And through that process, I also realized and went to get training in how to facilitate groups of individuals that had cancer and also groups of physicians in order to help them learn from each other, in order to help them to share what was on their heart in a group of people that had similar situations.
Dr. Mumber, you know, just listening to you, I mean, we know, especially in the U.S., I mean, healthcare is such a big deal, and people listening all over the world. I really want the listeners to listen tonight because it is the will of God for us to be healthy. And so I love the title of your book, Sustainable Wellness. That's a very interesting title. What does that mean?
So I do think a lot about words, and we were very careful in choosing the title of the book. So if something's sustainable, that means that it will consistently renew itself over time. And so it's something that can go on and on if we consistently renew it. And then wellness is really an experience of health. And the way we define health is as a balance between the internal and the external environment. So a balance between what's going on internally inside of ourselves and what's going on externally outside of ourselves in our environment.
So would you say that whatever is going on internally really will outpicture itself in our bodies eventually and inevitably?
Well, I think ultimately the two are really one. Ultimately, the what we see externally and what we see internally are kind of a dynamic balance, and I think that they're certainly related. And we know that, for example, one of the greatest teachers probably to ever walk the planet was Jesus, and that he, the night before he knew he was going to die, he said, you know, here, look at this, you know, this food is my body, you know, practice this. And so that was a very powerful lesson, that you literally are what you eat. And so what you take in from the outside becomes your body. Well, the opposite is also true. What we engender inside of ourselves, what we think, how we feel about ourselves has an outward expression as well. So it's, both of those are constantly in balance and constantly in a dynamic flow.
Well, you talk about the three-legged stool of health, and what would that be? Share that with our listeners, and then we're going to talk about these wonderful eight steps to long-lasting health.
Yeah, so the three-legged stool of health is a really nice tool to think about that balance. And so I'd like you to picture just for a moment, and all your listeners to picture when they've been at a restaurant before and they sat at a table and the table was just slightly out of kilter. And when that happens, what do we do? Do we chop the leg off that's out of kilter and put a new one on? Do we re-engineer the flooring system? No, typically what we do is take a small napkin or a coaster and place it under the leg that's out of balance. And so our health and making constant little adjustments that keep us in balance can be done in the same way if we're aware of those little imbalances when they occur. And so the three-legged stool of health is a way to think about the balance that we need in order to stay healthy. So all the legs of the stool and the seat of the stool are linked together, and then the stool itself sits on the ground, and that ground is a ground of awareness. So it's a ground of knowing what's going on right now, right here and right now. And when we know what's going on right here and right now, we can tell when something's just a little bit out of kilter, and we can make a small adjustment. So the three legs of the stool are physical activity, nutrition, and stress management. And then the seat of the stool is our spirituality.
So awareness means that we're in touch with our bodies, we're in touch with our environment, we're in touch with what's happening in our lives, and cognizant and aware of really what's happening. You know, there's a lot of talk about living in the now. And so that's really important. And so let's talk about these eight steps to lasting health. What are those?
So the first step is really that first function, and that is to be able to practice being present. Because being present is something that I was never taught going through school. I was never taught to stop. I was taught to really go, to move forward constantly and constantly be thinking about what might happen in the future, usually based on what I had experienced in the past. And so I spent most of my time either thinking about the past or planning for the future. And very seldom was I able to stop, and like that old saying goes, stop and smell the roses. The roses are there. My ability to smell was there. But the ability to stop and be able to be truly present is something that I needed to practice. And so that practice, there are several practices that you can do to help to cultivate that ability. And one of them is the practice of mindfulness. And mindfulness is really paying attention in the present moment, non-judgmentally, as though your life depended on it. So with a keen sense of focus, paying attention to what's going on right now. And that's something that is a skill. So it's a lot like when we exercise a muscle. As we exercise that muscle, at first it's really hard to do that, and you might get sore and it'd be difficult, but then as time goes on and you build up strength, you're more able to focus, and when the inevitable distraction or imbalance or something comes along and drags us into the past away from the present, or drags us into the future away from the present, we can bring our focus back to what's going on right here and right now. So that's really the first step, cultivating that awareness.
You know, and that is that's such a powerful step, doctor, because, you know, I believe that your past, if you dwell on it, if it's negative, can really make you sick. And if you're worrying about your future, that can make you sick. But if like you said, you're able to right now, in this moment, just be aware and present, that's a very powerful place from which people can live.
It is very powerful, and it really moves towards a type of medicine that's focused more on healing and less on fixing or curing. So we know that I used to think when I went to medical school that the word healing was kind of frou-frou and kind of magical, and I always had this vision in my head of people dancing around in a circle with flowers behind their hair saying, you know, heal the world or something. Mm-hmm. And ultimately I thought that until I read a book by a guy named Stephen Levine, and in that book he said, if there's a single definition of healing, it's to look with mercy and awareness at those pains, both mental and physical, that we have dismissed in judgment and dismay. And so So in order to heal, it's difficult work. And isn't it easier, isn't it better to be able to do that difficult work when we stopped, when we're able to, something happens though when we stop, we're able to be calm. And then when we're able to be calm, we're able to be at rest. And when we're able to be at rest, we're able to look at those things that we'd rather not look at in a different way and reframe them, kind of like you did. You presented a great example of this tonight when we had difficulties with our phone call. You said, look, you know, this is a part of something that's supposed to happen this way. There's a reason this has happened. And that's such a wonderful way of reframing things. And so just that little tool, that little trick, being able to be present enough to stop and be calm and rest and see things from a different perspective with our focus, with our present moment awareness, that's a big step. And that it's really the foundation of any process to health. Is the first step has to be being aware.
Okay. And what's step number two?
So we move forward once we're able to, and being aware is a constant practice, and so we move forward and bring our awareness internally, and the first thing we look at is our dominant personality type, and we use a tool called the Enneagram, or the Enneagram, and basically it was initially used by Christian mystics, and it has 9 different dominant personality types. And each of us tends to have one of those dominant personality types as our general way of approaching life. And so it's a good way when we bring our awareness to kind of our usual modus operandi, it's a good way for us to kind of catch ourselves making automatic reactions instead of stopping and being able to actually choose to respond in a certain way. So that's the second step, starting internally with how do we typically, what's our typical pathway to trying to be happy? And what does that say about ourselves? What does that say about our choices? How do we make our choices based on that? Then the third step we take is to then really, once we've been able to stop and calm and see how kind of our dominant way of trying to seek happiness in our life, once we've done that, we can then take the retrospective scope a little bit further back and look at our entire life. And this is where an integrative focus starts to come into play, looking at all the participants of our life and looking at the culture in which we were raised and how all of those things factored into our life, what makes us who we were. So we look at the past, and especially those parts of our past that maybe we'd rather not look at before. And when we do that,
go ahead, Doctor. So would you say that people who live in, I know in America we're busy, but have studies been conducted that really show that people who live in different parts of the world or who are part of a different culture are more peaceful or more restful or more able to practice this mindfulness?
That's a really good question. I don't think there's been studies that have been done. Uh-huh. Now, most of this type of focus, like a mindfulness focus and a meditation focus, is more associated with Eastern types of practices and Eastern cultures, like in India and Asia. But this is not the focus of cultivating awareness is not a religious one. It's not a cultural one. It's basically just a human one. It's something that we can use as a tool to, again, bring our awareness, bring our ability to focus on what's going on right here and right now.
Okay.
So I don't think there have been studies that have looked at one culture or another. However, different cultures have different levels of teaching this type of approach.
Okay. And our next step is?
So once we've gone through and cultivated awareness, figured out our personality type, and then looked at a life review, we've looked at the past, we set some goals for the future based on that, and try to set kind of a mission for what we'd like to do in our life, kind of place our order with the universe, to put it one way. Then the next step is to take a look at that three-legged stool of health, and we do that by looking at all the participants in our life at all levels of our being, so mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. And then at the same time, again, looking at the lenses that we see things through. So the lens that we see through our personality type, the lens that we see through the community and the culture that we're a part of, and then the lens of the natural world in which we live every day. So the natural world is a lot different in, let's say, Atlanta, Georgia, than it is in Alaska. And so how that natural world impacts us on all those levels. So we first look at nutrition, and we look at all the participants that go on in nutrition and how that impacts what we how we feed ourselves. Then we look at the culture in which we are raised, how that impacts how we feed ourselves, the natural world, how we impact the natural world, and how the natural world impacts us. And then we look at nutrition from a standpoint of how it affects our physical self, how it affects us mentally and emotionally, and how it affects us even spiritually. And so we look at each of those layers of each of those parts of the three-legged stool of health: nutrition, physical activity, stress management, and spirituality, on all of those levels of being and experience.
Well, let's talk about nutrition. What should we be eating? And can food be our medicine? I think I heard that somewhere. And let's talk about organic food. I'm really interested in that.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're quoting Hippocrates, actually, who said, let your medicine be your food, and let your food be your medicine. And food is a medicine. Food was put here, obviously, to nourish our bodies. And I'm a big believer in making most of what we eat a whole food, plant-based diet, which means that, let's say, 80% of what we eat should be a whole part of a plant. And there's really two pretty easy questions to ask yourself when you go shopping if you want to have most of your diet be a whole food, plant-based source. The first question is the food from an animal or is it from a plant? If it's from an animal, then it doesn't mean that you can't have it as a small part of your diet, but it's not a whole part of the plant. And then the second question is it the whole part of the plant, or is it a part of the plant that's been crushed up and there's been fats and oils and sugar and salt put in it and makes something totally different? So the whole part of the plant is a part like the fruit, the nut, the seeds, the root, the stem, the leaves. Those are whole parts of the plant. So if we can fill our plate with whole parts of the plants and try to use a wide variety of colors, that'll give us a very broad set of nutrients and really nourish our body. From a standpoint of the organic versus non-organic products, there's some great books out there. There's one called The Omnivore's Dilemma that I would highly recommend by Michael Pollan for a good read for people that want to investigate that further. But probably the best source is to look at the USDA. They put out a list called The Dirty Dozen and The Clean 15, and that's in the book as well, in our Sustainable Wellness book. And the Clean 15 are vegetables and fruits that you generally don't need to buy organic. And then the Dirty Dozen are ones that do have fairly high pesticide residues, and those are ones that you should buy organic if you can. Now, the question becomes, is it better to eat non-organic vegetables and fruits than, let's say, really salty chips or sugary snacks? There's absolutely no doubt that it's better to eat non-organic vegetables and fruits than it is to eat, you know, any number of processed foods. And so one little tool I like to use to think about this, another neat little way of looking about it, and people always like to think about time travel. Time travel is really popular in movies. And so if you had a time machine and you took a piece of something you were getting ready to eat and you took it back to your ancestor 200 years ago and asked them what it was, if they had no idea what it was or couldn't figure out where the heck it came from, then it's almost certainly a processed food.
Right.
And so that's not a good idea to eat that.
And so, and also, you know, what is your take on sweets, candy, cakes, pies? How does eating sweets and sugar really impact our body?
Yeah. So if we take the two question test, you know, is it from an animal or plant? You know, it's definitely not from a plant, and And then, you know, is it a whole part of the plant? No, you've taken in, you've added a bunch of sugar and fats and so forth. And so sweets are things that what happens when we eat sugar and a large amount of carbohydrates is that our blood sugar spikes way up. And, of course, our body is just constantly trying to stay in balance. Every day, every second, our body, even right now, your body is finding a way to stay in balance. And so when that blood sugar spikes up, your body produces all these hormones to try to meet that need. And what those hormones do is that they try to lower that blood sugar as quickly as possible and get it to where it's needed the most. When we have real high spikes of anything in our life, real high, intense moments of anything, whether it be stress or big carbohydrate loads or major physical bursts of physical activity, that our body really needs to struggle to adapt to that. And if we do that continuously, it can have a major impact. So having big spikes of anything is really not a good thing. And to have a daily intake of sugar, really high intake of carbohydrates and sugary foods, will put your body in a position where it's constantly trying to catch up. And over time, it loses the ability to do so. And that's what results in things like resistance to insulin that can lead to diabetes. And we also know that resistance to insulin can lead to increased rates of heart disease and cancer and other types of illness.
Well, you know, I had that experience because my birthday just passed, and I don't normally eat sweets, but I'm like, okay, this is my birthday. I received a birthday card, a Dr. Mumber, from one of my girlfriends, and it says, today you don't eat a salad, you don't juice. It was pretty funny. Today you eat all the junk food you wanted, and that's exactly what I did. And I felt pretty terrible. I ate cake and cupcakes, and somebody gave me some candy, and I realized that I'm not accustomed to eating like that, and my body just said, I don't like this. And so I can really relate to what you're saying.
Well, that's a great insight to share with your listeners too, Constance, because I've been a vegetarian for about 4 years now, and when I eat meat now, I just don't enjoy it as much as I did before, and I don't feel as good. My body doesn't respond as well the next day when I do that. And so it is important. I think what you're also pointing to is that it's okay to every now and then have, you know, you don't need to be perfect. Nobody's perfect. Life is
right.
A constant. Life is a constant series of adjustments to tiny imbalances. And, you know, sometimes we'll create those imbalances for ourselves. And that's okay. That's we're never going to achieve perfection. As a matter of fact, if that's the goal, then it's literally not possible. And it becomes way too restrictive and onerous. And that leads into stress, which, again, you know, would just not be sustainable. That's not something that's consistently renewing. So it sounds to me like your lifestyle, your dietary pattern, your way of looking at things is one that is renewing, because you're asking yourself. One of the tools that we like to use is something called the PQRRS tool, and it's basically something to remember five steps. The first step is practice, and that practice needs to include some way of being aware. The next step is questioning. So when we're aware, we can question, well, why do I feel like this now? Well, what do I want to do now? Where am I going? Where have I been? And where do I want to go? And then the third step is to reframe the situation. Once we've been able to question, we can, from a calm place, look at things from a different perspective. When we're able to reframe things, then we can choose to respond in a certain way. And that's the fourth fourth part of the PQRRS. And then once we choose to respond, and this is the most difficult part of it, the S part, we need to be able to learn to surrender and realize that, you know what, it's not all about us, about our choice, about how much will we have, that sometimes no matter how good our intention is, no matter how good our practice is, the outcome is out of our control. And so that surrender part is a key piece to it, being able to learn how to let go so that we're not just constantly stressing ourselves out to make something happen.
That's powerful. Well, if you're just joining me, I'm speaking with Dr. Matt Mumber, and he is the author of Sustainable Wellness, An Integrative Approach to Transform Your Mind, Body, and Spirit. And he's talking about the 8 Steps to Wellness. And his co-author is Heather Reed, and we were not able to get Heather on this call tonight, so I guess, Dr. Mumber, you're going to have to channel Heather and share with our listeners tonight, because the next step is physical activity, and maybe you can share what that means and a little bit about yoga and why that's so important.
Yeah. So the physical activity piece, if the nutrition piece is the energy we take in, then the physical activity piece can be the energy that we then give out, the way that we use that energy and the way that we express ourselves in the world. And physical activity doesn't have to be going to a gym or running a marathon, or, you know, can be parking, you know, a couple of hundred yards away from the store instead of right next to it. It can be parking further away from your workplace than instead of right next to it. So it can be little things during the day, taking the stairs instead of taking the elevator. From a yoga perspective, yoga is really a wonderful form of activity in that it really does combine the physical with the mental, emotional, and spiritual. And the word yoga comes from a word meaning to yoke. And the word yoke ultimately comes from a word meaning to unite. And so yoga is a way of uniting. And typically the way that Heather teaches at our retreats and in our groups is our first process is to unite with our body. And one way to unite with the body is to first unite and focus on the breath. The wonderful thing about the breath is that the breath cannot exist yesterday. And it can't exist tomorrow. It can only be here right now. And so when I find myself going off in 10 different directions, which is one of my things, that's my personality type is one that tends to like to see the world as this big cornucopia of options. When I find myself doing that, I can consciously choose to bring my focus to my breath, which can only be right here. And then I can take a moment and be present with what's going on and choose to respond in a way rather than just kind of reacting based on past experiences or future planning desires and so forth. So yoga is a concrete practice that can help us to tune up those muscles of how to bring our awareness mentally and emotionally and physically all together.
Well, you know, what about people who say, Dr. Mumber, I just don't like exercising, or I'm too busy, I'm a single mom, I just don't have the time. What would you say to them?
Well, I think it has to be made, and it has to be, in my mind, in order to be sustainable, it's got to be something that comes from within. And so no matter how much I would prescribe, let's say, stopping smoking or stopping drinking or taking a 10-minute walk or anything to any one individual, that is not going to be sustainable unless it comes from within them. And so what I would suggest to that individual is not thinking about an hour or even a half hour or even 10 minutes or even a minute. I would just start with saying, do you have 10 or 20 seconds every now and then during the day when you can stop, you can take a breath, you can just bring your attention to what's going on with your body, in your body. Notice any areas of tightness, notice any areas of tension, and just breathe into those for maybe one or two breaths. And just try that try to do that a couple of times a day and see what happens. Maybe try something that you do enjoy, something that some people like to be in groups when they're physically active. Some people like to be alone. Some people like things like yoga, which can be focused on more flexibility and breath focus. Some people like really intense physical activity. So trying to be open to finding a balance where it doesn't need to take a long period of time, and it is something that you can sneak into the day. One of the things that Heather really came up with and put in the book is something called yoga bits. And these are just little bits of practice that you can use during the day to be able to sprinkle in some physical activity, or sprinkle in a different focus on nutrition, or sprinkle in a different focus on stress management or spirituality. And so it can be something that can come from within and can be accomplished without a huge time commitment and can ultimately be sustainable.
I love that word sustainable, and even that whole concept, because just what you shared, what you said that Heather really shared about the yoga bits, that makes it easy for people to really integrate it in their lives. And then if they choose, they can increase the amount of physical activity that they practice on a daily basis.
Yeah, and it's just like you mentioned earlier with the sweets, or with the meat. Over time, when you start to feel how good your body feels and how good it feels to adopt these little tools, that who knows what those tools are going to do for you. I certainly don't. But as your body gets used to those, as you get used to them, you tend to kind of want more of them. And it just becomes a change that occurs from inside of you. And so we make a big distinction in the book and in this practice between tools that we use to get us from point A to point B, and then the process of transformation. And the process of transformation is kind of like a joke when you're in a group of people. And I don't know if you've ever had the experience when somebody tells a joke and you're in a group, and I've had the experience before where I just didn't get it.
Right.
And I would go up to the person afterwards and I'd say, "I don't understand what you just said. Can you explain it to me?" And they would say, "Well, you know, how the duck was in the pond and they went down over there and there was an acorn and da da da." And ultimately, I still didn't get it. And so transformation, the process of transformation is like that. It's like you either get it or you don't get it. And so the process of transformation can't be forced on you from downhill. Like in medicine, we like to deliver certain tools, certain implements, whether it be surgery, or in my field, in the cancer field, surgery or radiation or chemotherapy, we can deliver that. In the process of transformation, we can't make somebody see things in a different way. The only person who can do that is themselves. And so that process of transformation is also, interestingly, pretty closely tied to that process of being able to cultivate awareness. And so the more we're able to cultivate that awareness, the more we're able to see things in a different way, from a different perspective. And when we see things from a different perspective, especially when it involves releasing old pains and concerns, it brings us a certain new type of energy that allows us to really delve into these other options and ways of living.
And Dr. Mumber, you don't know this, but my mantra on this show is, it's an inside job. Mm. And I always say that, and what you just said just sort of really penetrated my spirit, because you know, you can tell people all day long you need to eat right, eat proper, and then exercise, but until they get a revelation of that, until they're transformed on the inside, outside will really begin to outpicture what they truly believe. For example, me, I mean, exercise is just a part of my being now. I can't even imagine. There are some days when I can't, but it's sustainable in my life, because it's just like breathing air. If I don't exercise for 2 or 3 days, I feel off balance. But really, that became an inside picture on the inside of me first, many, many, many years ago, and I've been practicing that and sustaining that practice for years.
Yeah. Well, that's a beautiful way of putting it. I love your saying it is an inside job, and nobody can do it for you. The only person who can do it is you. That when Heather and I get ready to facilitate a group, we have no idea what's going to happen. And we're not 100% sure that it's going to work. And so, but that level of surrender, that level of openness to possibility is what we can give ourselves. If we can give that to ourselves on a daily basis, then kind of like you said earlier, things happen that are not of our own doing. And so it gets to be a bit paradoxical. You know, it's the kind of non-dual that, you know, it is an inside job, and it is, things do flow from the inside in order to be sustainable. But at the same time, isn't it freeing to know that we're not 100% completely responsible for it, that there's something working in our lives that brings us to things when they're supposed to be brought to us? And so it's one of those different sides of the same coin thing. We need to be able to choose and to respond and to really accept our personal responsibility for what's going on in our life. But at the same time, we need to be able to have that gentleness to be able to be compassionate enough to ourselves to surrender our desire to control the outcome.
You know, that's so true. And I really believe, you know, just coming from a spiritual perspective, that it really takes the power of God or the power of the Spirit on the inside of us to really begin to have sustainable practices in our lives. I know so many people that want to eat right, but they like, I'm just addicted to chocolate. But I think it's when you do surrender and say, God, I'm addicted to chocolate or whatever you want addicted to, and you surrender, and then that inner power of the Spirit will come and help you to sustain that new way of thinking and transform your life.
Yeah, and I think we're all addicted to a lot of things. We're addicted to the way we try to bring our happiness to the world and into our lives, and we're addicted to lots of different things. And so it is important to be able to know how to surrender. And ultimately, that's in the three-legged stool of health, that I like to also think of the seat of the stool is in parallel with that ground of awareness. And if our physical activity and our nutrition and our level of being, our level of having our stress under control, if those things are way out of balance, it's sometimes really hard to meet that or be in touch with that spiritual side of ourselves. So we need to meet our basic needs and then also rely on those two parts that work so well together, cultivating that awareness and then grounding it in our ultimate concern, our spirituality, our highest and best self.
You know, I hear compassion and being non-judgmental coming from you, and that would have to be important in my listeners tonight bringing or manifesting wellness in their lives. When I hear you talk, I know you're a doctor, you're MD, but I hear compassion and not judging where you are, but, you know, just accepting, surrendering, and from that place, transforming and changing your mind, your body, and your spirit.
Yeah, and that's
very powerful.
Yeah, it is. It's a very powerful process, and compassion is a pretty, again, that word is such a big word. I just like to think of it as that we'd like to decrease suffering in ourselves and in the participants in our life, and we'd also like to increase our enjoyment of life, both for ourselves and for the people that we're living with, our friends, family, and really literally everyone that we can in the world. And so that's, to me, that's the two parts of compassion, wanting to decrease suffering and increase enjoyment.
And the next step is, my goodness, stress management. Oh my goodness, we all need this one, doctor.
yeah. And so, you know, stress is inevitable, and there's what people call good stress, things like getting married or having a new job or moving to a new house, getting a new degree, having a new child, and then there are things that people call bad stress or distress, things like a death in the family or a major loss. And interestingly, our bodies don't know the difference between those two types of stress. And so when we have a lot of good stress, that can also throw us a little off balance, just like having a lot of distress can. And so the PQRRS practice, that ability to practice and question and reframe and respond and surrender, is a great practice in helping with stress management.
And so what about someone who's really busy? I mean, how can we relax? I mean, I was in Atlanta traffic, and you know what that's like, doctor. I'm pretty calm in it now because, my car is really a university. I'll listen to myself, as I'm sitting in traffic. But I saw people were just honking their horns. And so how can we, in the midst of so many responsibilities and seemingly so much going on in our lives, how can we really begin to relax
again, I think a lot of these are just, if we can break them down to little bits of experience, little bits of, first of all, stopping. And so one of our group participants said that they used to get really stressed out when a red light came on, especially when they were trying to get somewhere. And after going through the group process, they said, when a red light comes on now, I basically use it as a cue. Instead of just letting myself get carried away with being angry or upset or I've got to go here or I should have gotten there, they use it as a cue to stop and bring their focus just for a moment to their breath. And then that brings their focus to their body. And all of a sudden, instead of being anxious and angry, they're able to be calm. And just for that 10, 20 seconds or so, they're able to just take a little rest right there while they're maintaining their focus on the road and on the traffic and on what's going on around them. They're able to be at rest instead of anxious. And so just those little bits, and I think what happens for me is that my practice in the morning, I usually take some time just to sit in silence. That practice tends to filter into my day. And so just like my practice when I'm exercising, when my muscles are strong, it filters into my day, my ability to walk around and move things and be flexible and get to where I need to go. That same practice of being able to sit in silence and calm and rest filters into the day such that when little situations arise, when I get angry or when I get afraid or I get insecure, then I'm able to catch myself doing that, stop, and then calm, and then rest. And so even if that happens in just 5 seconds, it's a wonderful way to manage that.
I love how you and Heather really just have really share with our listeners, because you're channeling Heather tonight, Dr. Mumber. You're doing a great job in sharing, what she would share. Make sure you tell her that, how you really integrated just small, simple, easy baby steps that my listeners can take that will move them from where they are to where they want to be. That just makes it a lot easier.
Well, and we know that these little steps are simple, and some of them are easy, and some of them are simple, but they're not that easy. And so so it takes discipline, but also compassion. It takes our ability to be patient with ourselves and to consistently be open to beginning again, consistently be open to seeing things as if we hadn't seen them before. And I think that practice is really a beneficial one.
And then lastly, spirituality.
Yeah, so we like to think of spirituality as what is our ultimate concern. And for some folks, their ultimate concern is just themselves. And for others, their concern extends beyond themselves to family and friends. And some, that extends beyond family and friends to literally everyone and every living being. And so over time, there are higher levels of spiritual attainment or spirituality that include all living beings and that extend that compassion beyond our individual self to literally everything that is living. And so being able to cultivate and practice in a way that brings our highest and best self to a point where we can offer compassion and kindness to all living things is really, I think, the highest level of spirituality.
So what would you say tonight, doctor, to somebody who may really be suffering, they may really be sick, maybe they've gotten a diagnosis that's been really scary to them. What would you like to share with them tonight?
Well, I would like to say that they're not alone, that the part of being a human is going through the suffering that you're going through, and that there are people out there that love you, and there are people out there that care about you and that have been where you are now. And so being able to reach out to those individuals that care about you, that love you, being able to find ways to forgive whatever it is that you need to forgive inside of yourself and outside of yourself can be very powerful ways to start on the path towards understanding where your suffering is coming from and understanding where this crisis has a place in your life and how you can move forward. But you're not alone.
And how should people really view if somebody has been sick or is sick, is on a lot of medication, how should they view that? Can they begin to shift their thinking about what they are currently experiencing? Should they be visualizing wholeness and healing? How does that work?
Well, I'm not 100% sure what they should be doing, but I do think that the first step is being aware of where you are right now. And then looking around, I would suggest looking around for resources to help support you in the process. And I would look for resources initially in the folks that are around you. I would look for resources in the presence of people that have been through a similar situation. So for patients that have cancer, I would look for other people that have had that same experience. For physicians that are going through burnout or have lost the meaning in their work, I would look for other physicians that have gone through that experience. For people with arthritis or diabetes or heart disease, I would look for other people that have gone through that experience. So I would suggest the first step is finding that common ground with at least one other individual. And if you can't do it with one other individual, if it's difficult to find that, I would first start out with yourself. And one really good tool that I've found to be very beneficial is to get a few pieces of paper or journal and just write whatever's going on in your mind, in your body, whatever it is that's most significant to you right now. Just put it down on a piece of paper so you can then get it somewhere that is outside of yourself, so you're not holding on to it so tightly in and of itself by yourself.
And I thank Dr. Matt Mumber for that great info that he shared with you about his book, Sustainable Wellness, An Integrative Approach to Transform Your Mind, Body, and Spirit. And you know, I believe that if you would begin to implement some of those 8 steps, that you will begin to see your life radically change. Because it is certainly the will of God for you to prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. And so go to Amazon.com. You can get his book there. Once again, Sustainable Wellness, An Integrative Approach to Transform Your Mind, Body, and Spirit. And that's by Dr. Matt Mumber and Heather Reed. So grateful that he was able to be on the show tonight. Well, once again, I want to thank all of you for listening, man. As I said at the beginning of the show, I just love all of my listeners from all over the world. I'm going to encourage you to please go to LOARadionetwork.com and really listen to some of the other wonderful hosts. And additionally, go to my website at FulfillingYourPurpose.com. I have great products there for you. Many of you say, Constance, I can't afford coaching. Well, what about buying my book? That's 25 years worth of my counseling and coaching experience. And you've heard so many of my clients talk about part one of my book and how part one literally transformed their lives. I have great affirmations that you can listen to, and they are only $1.99, $1.99. You are worth the investment. Remember, if you want something different this year, before the end of the year, you have to what? Do something different. Well, I forgot to tell you at the beginning of the show, guess what? I love you. I believe in you. I believe that the best is yet to come in your life when you begin to implement these wonderful universal principles. You will begin to see radical changes in your life. Well, God bless you. Have a great week. And guess what? Expect a miracle.
Thanks for joining us today on Think, Believe, and Manifest. We'll be back next week with another great show. For more information, go to FulfillingYourPurpose.com.